Thank God for His mercy. Amen. I don't know exactly how many times it was that God drew me. I mean, really convicted me. And, you know, drawing me to salvation in church, and I mean under heavy conviction. I don't know how many times that happened to me. And knowing what I know now, to think that God, after one invitation, could have never spoke to me again. One's enough. One is enough. But God in His mercy kept speaking and kept drawing. And you're not going to find anybody any more merciful to you than our God is, than the Son of God is. When everybody else would call for your stoning, He'd be the one standing there ready to save you. The book of Galatians this morning, chapter 3, the book of Galatians, chapter 3, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth? Before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you. This only would I learn of you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Are ye so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? I want to start here and go again through the thought that the Lord has placed upon my heart about this string that runs through Galatians, that Paul warned them about getting themselves into bondage and being entangled. You find that in chapter 4, verse 9, chapter 5, verse 1. He mentioned, be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Be not entangled again. He's talking to believers. I thought about lost people this morning as I was on my way to the house of God. Lost people are tangled. They're in bondage. They're in a prison. Lost people are. Christ come to open the prison for them that are bound, didn't He? And lost people they're in darkness. They cannot see the way. They are bound by they don't know what. They don't realize. It's like being raised in a place somewhere in the world where things are one certain way, and you don't realize that they should be some other way, and it's because that's all you've ever known. That's the position that a lost person's in. They think they've got a pretty good life. It's all they've ever known. The life they're living. They don't realize they're blind. They don't realize that it's dark where they are spiritually. They don't realize that they are known. I didn't know this. If somebody would have told me I was a child of the devil, I wouldn't have believed them before God saved me. Children of the wicked one. The Bible speaks about that. We belong to one of the two. We're either children of God, having been saved, delivered, or we are the children of the wicked one, aren't we? Saved or lost, in the light or in darkness. We are either eating at the Lord's table or we are eating from the banquet of Satan. In chapter 3 here, Paul spoke to these believers, though. And that's mainly what I want to talk to us about as believers. People that are saved, that are not living the way that they should live. And he said, "Oh, foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you?" I thought about that, being foolishly bewitched. Foolishly bewitched. What would it mean to be, bewitched? To be almost under a spell. To be driven in one direction. Dreaming. One thing when reality is something different. And we're seeing a lot of that today. People have this dream of Christianity where everyone's going to heaven, regardless of the life they live here on this earth. And it's not so. Reality, the Bible, what the Bible teaches us. It's different from the dream that most people want to live in. This dream of being, the way things always have been. Yet, on the other hand, holding to the hand of God. It cannot be. It is not. It is bewitching for someone to even think such a thought. There are many that have been foolishly bewitched. Paul told these Galatians, "Oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth?" That's a pretty strong statement. That ye should not obey the truth. I want to tell you something, church, and I'm telling you because I love you. Every one of you in here, everybody in here, including myself, these words are not up for discussion. This book and what it asks out of you and I, commands out of us, is not up for a vote. God's not asking me how I feel about it. Or, this is my recommendation if you want to. God doesn't say it that way. Jesus made the statement, and it should put some fear of God in us. It should. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. But we're living in a society today where preaching can be done, given from the Bible, taught to the people, and people will turn and live the way they want to live and do what they want to do anyway. I can understand someone, wondering. I mean, those over there in the book of Acts, I want to go look in my Bible and make sure this is what the Bible said. That's one thing. Good. Find out what the book says. Amen. I beg you, please get in here and dig and dig and dig and find out what this book says and then live by it. I beg you to do that. Don't just take my word. Some of you won't anyway. But get in this book and find out what God's word says. Find an example. If you cannot find something plain in black and white, find an example written down before you. Amen? There's plenty of examples. Plenty of examples given. These things were written for our example. God's give us page after page after page for examples for you and I to walk by. Statements. Choose you this day whom you will serve. Make up your mind. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth? Listen, it's a dangerous thing to not obey the truth. It's a fearful thing to not obey the truth. Senseless, unwise. That's what foolish means. Unwise, senseless. I mean, is this to make very little sense or use of reason as someone that has no reasoning? I mean, somebody can... There's a certain way to do certain things. And then there's a way not to do certain things. There's a way to shoe a horse. And then there's a way not to shoe a horse, or you'll get the devil kicked out of you. And it'd be senseless to not do it the way it's supposed to be done. Are you listening to me? Foolish! Amen? It'd be foolish to get behind a milk cow instead of under it when you go to milk it. There's a way to milk a milk cow. Amen? And that can get rough enough. Right? Amen? Just pulling up beside one. But get behind it. Get behind both legs, both feet. Then put that bucket under there and see if you don't get your lights knocked out. Foolish. It's foolish to do something different than the way that it's supposed to be done. Somebody that has no reasoning. I mean, I would absolutely say that one ain't got any sense to sit behind a cow. Directly behind one. Amen. And one that would pull up behind a bull, I'd say, is ain't even got no sense, no more sense than that one did. Foolish. There are things that are foolish, completely no reasoning at all for why people do it. And Paul's telling the Galatians, that's the way you are for not obeying the truth. As if somebody that has no reasoning to obey the truth. You've got reasoning. You've got the Word. There's no reason why your life should be any other way than blessed, than walking with God, than walking in the light. There's no reason why a child of God should have anything less than great joy and peace in their life. I know that there are trials and tribulations that come that bring some of that to an arrest sometimes. We all go through them times. But even in the midst of that, we can still live for Christ. But he's telling these Galatians, I mean, they have no reasoning. Who has bewitched you? Who came here and knocked all the reasoning out of you? Who made you think that you didn't have to obey the truth? Now, Paul, when he began to speak to them, he began to speak to them on these terms. Many of these Galatians were going about living under the law again to be justified. They felt like they had to do all these things to be right in the sight of God. And Paul saying, who told you that? But he does not discount the fact that living for God and obeying God's word is ever wrong. And I'll tell you, it's never wrong to obey God's word. But it is wrong if you think that doing a list of things contained or not contained, are you listening to it, is going to somehow justify you in the eyes of God. It doesn't. It doesn't. My clean life, your clean life, my keeping of God's law does not position me in favor. We are saved by grace. Completely God's grace. You do nothing. Are you listening to me? To merit the love and the grace of Christ. He loved you when you was a sinner. If you're a sinner, he loves you as much now as he'll ever love you. And there's nothing you can do to make him love you anymore. He loves you, and he wants to save you. You, while you're a lawbreaker, while you're lost, he wants to change you, transform you by his grace, by his love, by his power. What does it do? It changes our life. In verse 1, look what he said. He told them, he said, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you. You know what that is in mountain term? The prophesied event of Christ on the cross. What had been told about Christ was presented to these Galatians in such a graphic way that it was almost as if they were there at the cross when it happened. That's how vivid a message they received. He uses a word, prographo, when he said, set forth, crucified among you. Set forth, prographo. In other words, you were given a picture of Christ on the cross and his love and his grace. The nails and the sweat and the blood and the tears. You were shown a very vivid picture in the message that was given. Why? It was given in the power of God. And it was as if they could see Christ dying on the cross for them. It was delivered to them that powerfully. My gracious. Oh, that we could preach Christ in such a way again. Very vivid, to where people could feel the heat of the Palestinian day. Pick up the dust from when the cross dropped. See our Lord and hear His skin stretch on the cross and His bones crack under stress without breaking. Held by the weight of His hands and His feet nailed. Oh, that we could preach that in such a picture that Paul was presenting to the Galatians. He said, it was given to you that way. And then how in the world would they, to see the glory of Christ on the cross, the payment made, God's love to them, God's sacrifice for sin, for all men, for all time. Are you listening to me? To see that image and then to say, fellas, I think we need to add to that. I think we need to get circumcised and we need to make sure that we're keeping all these rules and laws, not just the ones contained in the law, but the ones the high priest put upon us too. We need to do that to stay saved. You might as well spit at that image. You might as well spit at the image of Christ. If what He did is not enough to save you and me, there's sure not nothing you and I can do to add anything to it to help it. Amen? There's nothing that I've got that can help that. Amen? That can help me be saved. If what Jesus did, how He suffered, visage marked more than any man. If that didn't do it, nothing else will. If that doesn't show God's love to me, nothing else will. People are bewitched to think that they could add to that. Lord, help us to get that message to people again. That Christ, I don't have time today to get all this, crucified among you. Set forth, crucified among you, as if it happened right among them. Prographo. Before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently. It was as if it was right before their eyes. Some of them apostles, it was, they saw. And that's how they preached. They tried to give that they saw in great fervency, in great power. We don't have, we have some of the messages that Peter preached, Paul, Stephen preached. How many of them apostles went preaching? Could you imagine just sitting on a hill somewhere and hearing John tell about that last few hours? To hear him describe what he saw with his eyes. It's real. Church, kids, it's real. It's been passed down See, this book, it's not just a history book. It's not just a bunch of stories written, what the world would have you to be. I mean, this is proof written. God's message to let you and I know to never forget what happened, what He did, what His Son did, and that He's coming again. And that salvation is only by the death of that man on the cross. Amen. Don't let anybody bewitch you into making you think that somehow you can get it some other way besides what Christ is offering it to you. Because you can't. This is different from what I had. I've got so much that I'd like to give to you today, but I know that time is short. He asked him, he said, did you receive the Spirit? How? By the works of the law or the hearing of faith? How did the Spirit of God come inside of us that are saved? After we did a whole lot of things to be obedient to God, or by the hearing of faith? We heard, we repented and confessed, and then the Spirit of Christ came in. Isn't that the way it happened? And what happened? He made us the sons of God, didn't He? Well, now are we the sons of God. New. Been made new. Now are we the sons of God. Behold, now. Right now. Are we the sons of God. They're so foolish to believe that life is made perfect by the flesh. Why a saved person would think life is perfect doing worldly and fleshly things, but that's the way that's the way many are going. If they could have their joy in the world, then life is perfect. Life is never made perfect by the flesh. Never will be. Life can never be made perfect by the flesh. It's foolish. Are ye so foolish, having begun in the Spirit? Verse 3, are ye now made perfect by the flesh? It's as foolish to believe that you could be saved by the works of your flesh. It's foolish to believe that life's going to be perfect by the flesh. Can you see Him today set forth? Can you see His body hanging on the tree? Look, I'm almost done. Give me just another minute of your attention. Can you see the very Son of God? Hanging there on the cross. And He's there because of you. And He's there because of me. He's there because of our sins. He's there because if He's not there, there's no hope ever for you and me. He is the only one that can bring salvation. He's the only one that can pay for it. He's so innocent. He's sinless. There's no fault in Him. He is just. He is holy. He was made a little lower than the angels. He was made into the form of a man so that he could die for man. He's our Lamb slain before God. Our Lamb. Is he your Lamb? Can you accept him as your sacrifice for your sin? I'll believe that Jesus died for my sin and that his death paid for my sin. And I'll love him for it because he loved me before I ever loved him. And I'll ask him to come into my heart and I'll ask him to come into my life because there's never going to be anybody that ever loved me and give themselves for me the way he did. And I can't live my life without that man. And I don't want to face eternity without that man. I can face eternity without a lot of people, but I can't face eternity without that man. I need that man in my life. I need that man to live in me. I hope you are ready to do that. I hope you can do that. I hope you could tell him. You don't have to tell me nothing, but I hope you could tell him, Lord, please forgive me of my sin and mean it. Lord, please forgive me for my sin. Please wash me by your blood. Please, please, Lord, come into my life. I know there's nothing that I have that I can offer you. I need you. I need you, Lord. I need you in my life to change me. He'll do it. He'll do it. I want you to stand.